Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. We give God praise for tonight. We give God praise. Hallelujah. One for another. The Bible says, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. So I love praising God. I believe that I'm talking to some people that love to praise God. We pray to God. We praise God. Hallelujah. Because he's worthy of our praise. Amen. So we're going to pray tonight and go right into the Word Wednesday. We thank God for this opportunity to grow and learn and study the Word of God. So let us pray before we get into our lesson on tonight. Heavenly Father, in your Son Jesus' name, we thank you for this opportunity. Lord, if it had not been for you being on our side, where would we be? So we thank you, Lord, that your Spirit is present right now and that the Spirit of the living God will even yet rise up during this time together. We thank you that greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. And we thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost that resides on the inside of each and every believer. Now, Lord, with the Spirit, not by power, not by might, but by your Spirit, may we grow, may we learn, may we be edified, even on tonight as we get into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Let us begin tonight in the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 4, looking at the life of Abraham. And I'll give my title and my thought at the outset because we may not go to a lot of scriptures tonight, but the ones we will go to, I believe they're going to bless us. Tonight, I simply want to talk from this topic or this thought, trusting God in times of trouble. Trusting God in times of trouble. And we're going to look at the life of Abraham starting in Romans chapter number 4. Paul writes to the church at Rome and he's trying to persuade his brothers and sisters who are into Judaism. They are Jews. They are devout. Many of them have been brought up in the Torah and the ways of the law of Moses. And they were not trying to believe that Christ had come, that the Messiah had come, that through Jesus all might be saved. And Paul writes this epistle to the church at Rome, trying to persuade them to become Christian, trying to persuade them to give their life to Christ. And he gives a wonderful argument from the life of Abraham. If you go into the first verses, he talks about did Abraham believe before or after he was circumcised. Remember back in Genesis, we heard a little bit of that in our church on Sunday as Prophet Jerry Willis preached from Genesis. But after God made a covenant with Abraham, he said after every male child on the eighth day, they need to be circumcised to prove that this is my covenant that I have made with you and with the sons and the children of Israel. In other words, God said every male, and even happened in the days of Jesus, at 8 days of age, every male child was circumcised to show that God's covenant, he was a covenant-keeping God, and this was symbolic of God keeping his covenant with his sons and with his daughters. So here, Paul is writing to the church of Rome, chapter 4. I'm going to start at verse number 16, but again, we're talking about trusting God in times of trouble because Abraham was known as the father of faith. Amen. He was known as the father of faith and the father of many nations he would be. God comes to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, and he said, I'm going to bless those that bless you. I'm going to curse those that curse you. And I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And now let's look at Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Jump down to verse number 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. We're going to look at that seed be a little further as we go over to the book of Galatians in a moment. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Come on, somebody. Giving glory to God. Verse number 21 says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to also perform. Glory be to God. That is how you and I get to trust God in times of trouble. It's not us, it's God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When we put our faith in the God that can do the impossible, when we put our faith in the God that knows everything, that can do everything, that is more powerful than anything, this is how you and I can have peace, can have calm, can have resolve during times of trouble, and we can put our faith, we can put our trust, we can put our belief in God, because God is able and ready and willing to handle anything that you and I may be facing that look like it's impossible for us to do. Our identity in God is everything. We are the seeds of Abraham. We are the blessings of Abraham. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Help me, Holy Ghost. The blessings of Abraham is on your life. The blessings of Abraham is on my life. Prove it, Pastor Anthony. Go to Galatians chapter number 3. As we just read from Romans chapter 4, now I want to connect this to show you and I why people say and preachers say and some people believe that the blessings of Abraham is on us now, the Gentile. The Gentile are those that was not born Jew. We were not born Jewish. Ethnic-wise, religious-wise, you and I who are Gentiles are not Jewish. But the blessings of Abraham through the spiritual blessing is on you and I who are the Gentile. Glory be to God. Galatians chapter 3. Now remember what we just started out with in Romans chapter number 4, because the Bible says Abraham was not weak in faith. He was fully persuaded, amen, and he did not stagger at the promise. Simply put, Abraham believed God. The Bible says that Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him as righteousness, amen? We got to understand, the Bible says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus said himself before he was ascended that you and I will face tribulation. In other words, you and I will face trouble. Abraham received the promise of God at age 75. And for 25 years, Abraham had to wait on God to fulfill the promise of the miracle child Isaac. Amen? And within those 25 years, hear God, Abraham faced many trials, many troubles, and many situations that he needed to trust God in spite of what he was seeing and what he was facing. Remember when Lot went to Sodom and Gomorrah and got into trouble, and Abraham and his men had to go and rescue his nephew Lot. They put their lives on the line, but God spared them. God gave Abraham the victory. And Abraham faced trouble time and time again. Remember Pharaoh. Let's go to Pharaoh. When he saw that Sarah was beautiful, Pharaoh saw that Sarah was, amen, she was a very fair woman. She was a very attractive woman. And Pharaoh took Sarah into his harem. Pharaoh took Sarah and gave Abraham livestock, gave Abraham gold and silver, gave Abraham riches for Sarai, his wife. And God tormented Pharaoh because God knew that Abraham was going to face certain persecutions and face certain situations before he was going to give the promise of Isaac, the miracle child. And God began to torment Pharaoh, so much so that Pharaoh came to Abraham and said, "Why did you not tell me that Sarah was your wife? You brought all this trouble on me because you was in trouble." He was in trouble, glory be to God, because there was a great famine in the land, another troublesome situation that Abraham and Sarah and Lot and all of those that traveled with him. Please hear God on tonight. Abraham was in a serious famine. There was no water. There was no food. There was no resources. So when you and I face this thing called trouble, and we look at the life of Abraham, come on, we're not alone. The Bible says the things that they went through aforetime was examples to you and I. Glory be to God. So when I was hospitalized a few years ago and I was facing trouble, this is one of the scriptures I went to, Romans chapter number 4. I went to Galatians chapter number 3. Come on, Jesus. I went to Isaiah 53. He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement was our peace was upon him. And by his stripes I am healed. I went to Psalm 107. He sent his word and healed them from all of their diseases and saved them from their destruction. These are the things that helped me to trust God in the middle of trouble. And if you're facing trouble tonight, if you're in a storm tonight, if you're in a hard place or a hardship tonight, if you've been praying, believing God for a miracle, God is saying, put your trust in me. Put your faith in me. Put your belief back in me and watch what I do. Glory be to God. But Galatians chapter number 3, look at verse number 16. Verse number 16. No, we want to back up to verse number 11. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that do them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Watch why Jesus took the curse on himself instead of us taking the full blunt, the full force of the curse that was headed toward us because of sin. All have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus, who's the one that hung on a tree or the cross for you and I, the Bible says cursed. He took the curse upon himself. Verse number 14, this is why. That the blessings of Abraham might come unto the Gentiles. Glory be to God. Through Jesus Christ, that we, talking about you and me, might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Help me, Holy Ghost, tonight. Abraham got the miracle child Isaac at 100 years old. His wife Sarah was 90 years old. Her womb was dead. His body was dead. But they didn't look at the natural. They looked at the supernatural. Come on, Jesus. This is why, watch God here. This is why we got to always pray. You know, sometimes people, we say the wrong thing, not knowing what we're saying. But sometimes you'll find yourself in a hard place or a hard situation. And there's somebody that care about you that don't have the means or they don't have the resources to get you out of that situation. And they'll say something like this. The least I can do is pray for you. Help me, Holy Ghost. The least I can do is pray for you. No, no, no. The best thing you can do is pray for me. Glory be to God. That is the best thing you can do for me is pray for me. Because when you pray, guess what? You instantaneously cross over into the supernatural realm. Glory be to God. When we pray, we leave this natural realm and we cross over into the supernatural realm because now we get God involved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We got to pray. We're going to look at Peter tonight when the church prayed in Acts chapter number 12, and we're going to look at the power of prayer on tonight. When you pray for people, when we pray one for another, when we pray for our church, when we pray for our pastors, when we pray for our children, it makes a big difference. There's power in prayer. But let's read a little more since we're in Galatians chapter number 3, because you need to know that the blessings of Abraham is on your life because Jesus took the curse upon us, and now you are blessed. Verse number 16, now to Abraham and his seed, that's you and me. Oh, Jesus took the curse upon himself. He took our penalty. He was our atonement. He was our substitute. Glory be to God. Amen. Jesus took the curse. He took our curse. He took our penalty. He took our punishment. Verse number 16, now to Abraham and his seed, that's you and me, were the promises made. He said, not and to seed as of many, but as one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God and Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot be disannulled, that it should make the promise of non-effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I thought it was here, but let me see. Hallelujah. No, it's not here, but it's so. And one of the other scriptures is that God, when he gave Abraham that promise, God swore to himself that he's going to fulfill what he promised Abraham. God didn't find anything else to swear by, so he swore by himself to assure Abraham, you can trust me in times of trouble. It's in Hebrews 6:13. Glory be to God. I want to see that. Thank you, Pastor. Go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. This is why we got to trust God in times of trouble. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm trying to find it myself. That's all right. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16. Glory to God. Hebrews 6:13. Okay. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 13. Oh, yes, this is it. This is it. We are the seed to Abraham. The blessed Abraham is on our life. And Abraham wanted to have an Abraham kind of like faith. Amen. And what my lesson is saying tonight, trusting God in times of trouble, it doesn't matter what you're facing. We got to walk by faith and not by sight. Listen to what he says in Hebrews 6, verse number 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. My God, my God. Beloved, we got to endure. God is saying to somebody tonight, hang in there. God is saying to somebody else, don't give up. God is saying to somebody else tonight, don't quit. God is saying to another person tonight, come on, hang on. And when times get tough, the tough get going. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That ain't how it goes. It says when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. When the going gets tough, the tough gets going. That's it. That's it. I once wanted to be a motivational speaker. Glory be to God. And sometimes those things come back to me. And I love what Jim Rohn used to say. He said, success is not what you become, but it is who you become. Amen. To God be the glory. And we're going to see that in the life of Peter. Go to Acts chapter number 12. Peter had to trust God in times of trouble. And he is in some serious trouble right here in Acts chapter number 12. Peter is in some serious trouble. And watch what he does during his time of serious trouble. I mean, he's neck deep in trouble. Amen. He is in a situation that it doesn't look good for Peter. So in Acts chapter number 12, let's read starting at verse number 1. Let this encourage you tonight. I don't know what you're facing, but Peter responded right, and he got a miracle from God because he trusted God in time of trouble. Amen. Acts chapter number 12, verse number 1. Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex the certain of the church. Herod the king was coming against God's church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Now he wanted to kill Peter. Then there was the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him into the prison and delivered him to four quatrains of soldiers to keep him, intending that after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Verse number 5 says, Peter, oh my God, this blesses me. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but, somebody say but prayer was made without ceasing by the church unto God for him. I'm going to read verse 5 again. Peter was in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing or without stopping by the church to God for him. This is why we pray Tuesday night. Come on, somebody. We're standing in the gap for our families. We're interceding for our marriages. We're standing in the gap for our churches. We're going to God on behalf of other people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Peter is in trouble, but the church is praying. Peter is in trouble, but the church is going to God. Peter is in trouble, but he got people praying for him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When we are in trouble, prayer is not an option. We have to pray. Look at verse number 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Oh, my God. Even as I read that, I was about to shout and run. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. I just outlined he was in serious trouble, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. This is the night before he's about to, oh my God, the night before he's about to be beheaded, he's sleeping. I've seen people on death row, and the last thing they're doing before death row sentence of the next day is coming, the last thing they're going to do that day before is sleep. But Peter here is sleeping in times of trouble. Verse number 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off from his hand. And the angel said unto him, gird yourself and bind on your sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast your garment about you and follow me. Put on your shoes, put on your clothes. The angel is speaking to him, and follow me. Verse number 9. And he went out and he followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Peter thought all of this was a dream and not reality. Verse number 10, when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that led into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. Glory be to God. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. God told me to tell somebody tonight, you are already out. My God, my God, my God, who is that for? You are already out of that trouble. You are already out of that predicament. You are already out spiritually speaking. You are already out of that dilemma. Receive it by faith tonight. Say, I'm already out. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. When it was stage 2 cancer in my body, God spoke to me, I'm going to deliver you. In that moment, I was already out. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And that's what God is saying to somebody tonight. Hear the word of the Lord. Read his word. I will deliver you. I will set you free. Hallelujah. The Bible says God will deliver you. Peter thought this all was a dream. It said when they got to the iron gate, it opened on its own accord. And that's what God is saying. That thing in your way is going to have to get out of your way. Glory be to God. It said another door opened for them, and another door opened for them, and another door opened for them. Who is that for? Glory be to God. The enemy's trying to set traps. He's trying to put up roadblocks. He's trying to put mountains in your way. But God's going to remove all of it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Look at Matthew chapter number 17. I'm moving fast because I want to get to these scriptures tonight. I want the word of God to speak more than I do tonight. So we're going to go to some scriptures tonight. Amen. To God be the glory. I want to encourage your heart tonight. If you're in something, God is going to deliver you in the name of Jesus. Matthew chapter 17, verse number 14. Matthew chapter 17, verse number 14. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's not the one I wanted. Is it? That's not the one I wanted. Let's see if I can find the one I want. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Faith is a mustard seed. Hallelujah. I'm looking for that scripture. If you have faith as a mustard seed, I know it's in Matthew. I just wrote it down wrong. Glory be to God. Faith as a mustard seed. It might be in 17. Let me see if it's. Look at there. It is in Matthew 17:20. I guess that caught my attention right there because I was supposed to read a little earlier. Amen. It's in Matthew. Yeah, that's it. Matthew 17, verse number 20. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 17, verse number 20. Hallelujah. Oh, that's what it is. That's what it is. That's what I was looking for, but I didn't want to start there. I wanted to start. Glory to God. I actually wanted to start. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I wanted to read, because I'm not going to read. Yeah, let's start. Let's back up. I wanted to start in verse 14. That's why I got it in my notes. Matthew, I'm going to go according to my notes because he put it in my spirit for a reason. Matthew 17, verse 14. I thought I was off. And thank you, Pastor, to God be the glory. We're going to get to that mustard seed faith in a second. Verse number 14, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he fall into the fire and into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Come on, somebody. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said, here it is, here it is, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible for you. Howbeit, this kind goes out only by prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. That is it, people of God. The devil wants us not to believe. In times of trouble, we got to trust God. When it looks hopeless, put your faith in God. He said it's not the size of your faith, but it's the size of your God. Ha, 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 ha. Baby, it's not the size of your faith, but it is the size of your God. He said you can have little faith the size of a mustard seed. And if you say to your God and remove that unbelief, it said that mountain got to get up out of your way. Hallelujah. They said, Jesus, why could we not cast this devil, this demon, out of this demonic possessed boy? And he said, this kind only comes out by prayer and by fasting. God might be calling somebody to a fast. Don't look at Facebook for a week. Don't eat, you know, junk food. Don't turn down your plate. You eat three squares a day, three square meals a day, eat two a day. Give up breakfast, give up lunch, give up dinner. God may be calling somebody to fast tonight, something you're facing you need God to do. And something, there's something just biblical about fasting. I can't explain it. It's not really clear in Scripture, but it's in the Word of God. When you pray, when you fast, when you give. A lot of us pray, a lot of us give. But sometimes, we got to be honest, a lot of us are not fasting. And God is saying tonight, maybe we need to fast. Maybe we need to turn down some things and let God do what he can only do. Hallelujah. You know, when I was talking about last week, dealing with discouragement, and I think my lesson before that was letting go and letting God. Trusting God in times of trouble. When we looked at Peter, and I don't know why I left the book of Acts chapter 12 so fast, because there's some other things I wanted to point out from that scripture. Trusting God and God in times of trouble. We're going to go back there because I was not finished with that text. And Peter, glory be to God, went to sleep. He's about to be beheaded by King Herod, who already killed James. And he's about to make a spectacle and an example of Peter also. And the night before, glory be to God, God sends an angel to release Peter from that prison. And Peter stepped outside. It wasn't a dream. It was a reality. And God is saying to somebody tonight, put your faith in me. Go back to Acts chapter number 12. Let's see how this story ends. And then we're going to Proverbs 3. Acts chapter number 12, because I need us to see this. It said that the church was praying. Peter was in a predicament, but he had the church interceding. And I thank God that NCCM, New Creation Church, prays corporately every Tuesday night. And I believe that our prayers are making a difference. I believe that our prayers are being heard by heaven. I believe that angels are watching over us because we are praying. I believe God is opening doors that no man can shut because we are praying. I believe that there's some sicknesses, diseases, and sicknesses and infirmities that will not come to your body because you have prayed. I believe what the devil meant for evil, certain traps that he set for you and I, will not even be executed or demonstrated because you prayed. I believe there's certain things that won't even come near your dwelling because you prayed in advance. Glory be to God. Acts 12. I stopped at verse number 10 before. Look at verse number 11 now, and then we're going to get up out of here. And when Peter was come to himself, he shook himself loose like, wait a minute, that was not a dream. It just blew his mind what just happened. And the Bible says, when Peter came to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the people of the Jews. Some people are looking for you to fail. They're looking for you to fall. There's some people that are celebrating the fact that you are going through a hard trial. And Pastor Anthony, why? I love everybody. And you know what? I didn't do anything against anybody. I totally understand. My wife and I, we love people. My wife and I, we are for everybody. But guess what? People have come against us. People have tried to ruin our reputation. People have come against us trying to talk against the church, against us. We have seen it in 12 years of ministry. And you're not by yourself if you're being persecuted and you've done nothing wrong. The enemy will work through anybody. And unfortunately, he worked through sometimes people who are close to us. And it says right here, glory be to God, that there were people. These were the Jews. These were not the Roman soldiers. These were not the Roman citizens. These were the Jews celebrating that James was beheaded and about to celebrate that Peter was going to have the same fate. Verse number 12, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. This is the church that's praying for Peter. Verse number 13. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel or girl came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "You are mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. This is like a movie. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Come on, somebody. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Could we be still praying for something God had already answered? My God, my God, my God. Oh, that thing knocked me down when I wrote it in my notes. Could we still be praying for something that God has already answered? God, give me courage. God, give me boldness. God, make me more loving. God, make me more serious about the things of God. God, let me come to church every Sunday. God, let me tithe more regularly. God, let me pray more often. God, let me be more serious about your gospel. Could it be that God has already given you what you asked of him? You already get the courage that you asked him for. He already removed that fear out of your life that you told him to get rid of. He already gave you the ability to conquer every sin that tries to tempt you. He already gave you strength in that weakened area. He know you're vulnerable. He know your weaknesses. He know your idiosyncrasies. He know your bad habits. He know what you need. And maybe, could it be? I'm just saying, hypothetical question. Could it be that God has already released to you and I that thing that we still find ourselves praying for? Amen. Before I go to Proverbs 3, let's go to John chapter 4. Because here's a man, and this story just amazes me. It simply floors me every time I read it. This is how fast God moves. Because sometimes when we pray a thing, there's no waiting period. Come on, somebody. Sometimes there's a process. Sometimes there's a wait. But I want to show you tonight through the scripture, sometimes when you pray, boom! Instantaneously, God will answer that prayer. Remember the man on the cross? The two thieves between Jesus, and one was saying, "If you are the Son of God, get yourself and us down from this cross. Prove who you are." And the other thief said, "We're up here because we belong up here. We were criminals. We deserve to be crucified, but this man did nothing." And he said to Jesus, "When you come into your glory, remember me." And Jesus said instantaneously, immediately to that man, "Today, not tomorrow, not tonight, but today, you will be with me in paradise." My God, my God. There are some prayers, person of God, people of God, woman of God, man of God. There are some prayers that you will pray over the course of your life. There's not going to be a wait. God's going to do that thing instantaneously. Look at John chapter 4, verse number 46. John chapter 4, verse number 46. I'm sorry if I'm moving fast, but my spirit is stirred tonight. I am stirred up tonight. I am so stirred because sometimes, you know, when trouble comes, the tendency is to panic. The tendency is sometimes to worry. The tendency is to sometimes, you know, have insomnia, sleepless night, go into anxiety mode. But God is, I pray this lesson is encouraging you tonight because it encourages me. Sometimes I go through. Sometimes I'm in a storm. Sometimes me and my wife, you know, we don't have an answer. We don't have a way out. we have some serious situations that every now and again arise in our home, and we like, God, if you don't do it, God, if you don't show up, God, we need you right now to move. And we said humbly, we pray humbly, we go to God because the scriptures say go to God. Amen. Look at verse number 46 and chapter John, verse chapter number 4. John 4:46. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he made the water turned into wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. See, nobleman, let me stay there for a second. When we go to church, when we try to be honest, when we try to turn the other cheek, when we live a godly and holy and righteous life, when we are Christians, not just in name, but in deed, when we are noble, when we are moral, when we are trying to live right and do right by others, I believe God honors that, and I believe God gives us favor. Oh, my God, my God, my God. There's a grace, there's a mercy, there's a favor upon good people. This world want to show you that the bad people get ahead. This world want to show you that, you know, manipulating and scheming and plotting and lying and stealing and cheating is the only way to get ahead. But my God don't work like that. My God bless honest people. My God bless upright people. Come on. My God bless people who want to love others, who want to do right by others. This nobleman is about to get a miracle. That's why we have that adjective that he was a noble man. Verse number 47, when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea and to Galilee, he went to him and besought him, and he would come down and heal his son. This noble man needed Jesus to heal his son, for he was at the point of death. His son was about to die. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Remember, this is the same place he turned water into wine. The nobleman, there's that description again, said to him, sir, come down, my child is about to die. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son will live. My God, my God. And the man, watch this, people of God, and the man believed the word that Jesus had said to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, he's going back home, his servants met him. They're about to come with the good news and told him, saying, your son is alive. He lives. Watch verse number 42. That's what I said at the outset. Some prayers we're not going to have to wait for. Then he inquired, he of them, the hour when he began to amend, when his son's sickness began to turn around, when God began to turn that thing around, when did it happen? And they said to him, yesterday, about the seventh hour, the fever broke. It left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour, come on, somebody, in which Jesus said to him, your son lived, and himself believed, and his whole house was whole. The Bible is showing you and I at the point that we believe is the point that we get the miracle. Hallelujah. At the point that we believe is the point that we see the manifestation of God's goodness. Amen. To God be the glory. This is why the devil works overtime, to keep you from church, to keep you from Word Wednesday, to keep you from Bible study. Because watch this. What you feed the most grows the most. We have a body. I'm sorry. We have a soul. We have. Let me calm down. We have a body. We have a soul. We are spiritual beings that have a soul, and we live in this thing called a body. I done taught and preached that so many times, I'm a little stirred tonight, and my thoughts are just not with me. We have a body, we have a soul, we have a spirit. Let me put it that way. And the spirit is going to live. The soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, that consists of your soul. And we live in a body. That is the flesh. That is this natural vessel in which we live. Our spirit lives in these things called a body. Amen? And we need to understand that when we believe, your spirit believes, your soul believes, but your body gonna want to keep you in unbelief. And the thing that we feed the most, meaning our spirit, the thing that we feed the most, meaning our soul, is the thing that grows the most and becomes the strongest. That's why it says over in Galatians, when you sow of the flesh, you reap of the flesh. When you sow of the spirit, you reap of the spirit. So every word Wednesday, every prayer Tuesday, every time you hear the preach word on Sunday, your spirit is being fed. Your spirit is being strengthened. Your spirit is changing and growing stronger. Amen? And the soul and the spirit begins to take over your natural body, because these three are at war with each other. The Bible says the body and the spirit war against each other. Paul said, who can save me from this? My body is going against my spirit. And that's why we got to work on our soul. You know, I've been a Christian now for 26 years. And when I came into the things of God, I had a worldly way of thinking. My childhood experience gave me a certain mindset. Growing up in a single parent home, growing up without a father, growing up in poverty, growing up in the city of Newark, I had a certain way of thinking and believing and behaving. So guess what? I believe Romans 12 at that time. Be ye transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. So when the nights when I would normally go to the bar with my friends, I found myself going to the church. Come on, somebody. I said Thursday night at the Cathedral International in Perth Amboy, Thursday night was Bible study night. That was the night that everybody at FedEx, all my friends, went out to the bar drinking and partying. And I alone went down to Perth Amboy instead of taking my car to my normal spot, which was called the bar, hanging out with my friends. And guess what? I made a choice not to go to the bar that was feeding my body, my flesh, but I started beginning to feed my spirit as I pressed my way to Bible study. Glory be to God. That was before I met Pastor Rebecca. I made a decision to go to Bible study, to go to church, to try to learn a new way of living. Amen? So trusting God in times of trouble, Proverbs, oh my God, time got away from me. I'm going to read two more scriptures, and the scriptures speak for themselves. So Proverbs 3 and then Psalm 34, and we're going to stop. Proverbs 3 first. We know this one by heart. And if you don't know it by heart, highlight your Bible tonight. Get a highlighter out. Underline these verses I'm about to share with you. When we had our church on First Street, we had a plaque and a banner with this scripture on it, Proverbs 3. I memorize it. You'll hear me and Pastor Rebecca quote it a lot. And this helps me. David is teaching this to his son Solomon, and Solomon wrote it to you and I as one of the proverbs. This is the one of the proverbs that Solomon wrote, a proverb of wisdom. Because David and his mother Bathsheba taught this to him. If you read the first few verses, It said, my son, attend, amen, to my wisdom. You know, put it up. Matter of fact, let me just read it. Glory be to God. Because this is Word Wednesday Bible study. But I just want you to highlight verse 5 to 7. But I'm going to start at verse 1, chapter 3. I know we're pressed for time, but I need to read it. Proverbs 3:1, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days, that mean a long life, and a long life and peace shall add to thee. If you remember these things, you're going to live a long, prosperous life. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the tablet of your heart. Verse number 4, so shall you find favor, that's what I was talking about, and good understanding in the sight of God and man. We need God's favor, and we need to have favor with man. Hallelujah. That's how you're going to get that next job. Glory be to God. I don't know who that's for, but grab it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's how you're going to get that next automobile. That's how you're going to get that next apartment. Favor with God and favor with people. Now, verse 5 to 7, what I need you to highlight and what I need you to memorize. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It was never meant for the Christian to believe God with their head alone. But you got to learn how to believe God with your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And far too many Christians have head knowledge and had head belief of God. And sometimes when our emotions get in the way or trouble gets in the way, that confession that we made with our head, Lord, I would never leave you. God, I trust you. We said it. We believed it in our mind and in our thought. But sometimes that thing was not deep in our heart. Because when it's deep in your heart, even though you're in trouble, sometimes your heart will still keep the faith. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know when he's going to do it. I don't know why he's going to do it. But I believe he's going to do it. That's a heart confession. Amen. That has nothing to do with head knowledge. He said, don't lean to your own understanding with this one. You can't figure this one out with your intellect. This one you can't work out with common sense. This one right here that you're facing, logic ain't going to do it. Reasoning is not going to do you no good. So lean not into your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge me. I'll show you what to do. Amen. Finally, and then we're going to go home for real, Psalm number 34, one of my favorite psalms, if not my favorite. David was in some serious trouble himself. He's running. Amen. He's running from King Saul, who's trying to kill him. Psalm 34, but in the midst of trouble, David trusted God. Again, finally, my lesson tonight, trusting God in times of trouble. I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to expound on it. I'm not going to explain it, but we're going to close out here. Psalm number 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Here's the trouble. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. And he delivered me from all of my fears. They looked unto him, and they were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all. Somebody say all. All of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. Verse number 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that put his trust in him. Jump down to verse number 19 and we'll stop. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him out of them all. I feel like shouting. I feel like dancing. But I'm just going to pray our way out. Father, I thank you. We're going to be like David. We're going to bless the Lord at all times. God, your praise will always be in our mouth, even in the middle of trouble. You said many are the afflictions of the righteous. That word said we're going to face many troubles. But we have a blessed assurance that you will deliver us out of them all. So, God, I thank you tonight, and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, everyone. Please sow a seed into New Creation Christian Ministry. We thank you, all of you who give on a regular basis. We will see you at 1482 Maple Avenue this Sunday. There is a word from the Lord. Before the Thanksgiving holiday next Thursday, we are in Thanksgiving mode. We have a spirit of Thanksgiving. But before you eat the turkey, before you cut into that pie, before you slice that cake, come to church on Sunday and let us fellowship together. So you in this New Jersey area, I will see you. Pastor Rebecca will see you. We will see you in the house of the Lord on Sunday, 12:30 p.m. And if you're not in this area, we thank God for you. In Jesus' name. Good night, everyone. Love you. God bless you.